All right, let's get started this morning. Our main passage is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 1 and then look at verse 7. So, Ael, if you'll get that. 1 Samuel 14, 1 and 7. Owen, if you'll get 1 Samuel 14 and verse 1. Then 1 Samuel 14 and verse 7. Tony, if you'll get that. 1 Samuel 14, 14, Lem, if you'll get that for us. And then 1 Samuel 14, 15, Andrew, if you'll get that for us. 1 Samuel 14, 15. Okay, establishing the kingdom of God, it is never accomplished by just one person. It's always what you find throughout the Word of God is established by people working together. So Genesis, you see Adam and Eve were blessed by God and blessed to be fruitful, multiply, have dominion in the earth. You have God calling out a nation unto himself, a people. Then you have Paul in the New Testament speaks about the church as a body. Different members working together. So another example of this idea of people working together that we see in our passage is the example of the armor bearer. And I want to look at that today, the armor bearer, out of 1 Samuel 14, verses 1 and 7.
And one day, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost." But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. "Do you do what you think is best," the armor bearer replied. "I am with you completely, whatever you decide."
Okay, so let's look at the armor bearer. Let's talk firstly about the need for armor bearer men. First, we have to understand the role and purpose of the armor bearer. This was more than the guy that was in charge of his leader's weapons. The armor bearer was someone who would have been in very close proximity to men of importance. They would have been someone who they would have trusted ultimately with their lives, right? When we think of the armor bearer, we think of one holding armor on behalf of another. But these men would have suited up the king for battle. That would have been a very close proximity. That would have been a very vulnerable place for the king. This would have been a position of trust and a position of relationship. The word armor bearer means to lift, to carry, to raise. So these men, they linked together with their leader in many different capacities. Ultimately, the armor bearer would follow their leader into battle, and he would carry extra weapons and supplies for he and his leader. And a very important role of the armor bearer is as he followed his leader, he would slay those who were wounded by their masters. So he carried a club or another heavier sword. So think about this is not only a man of trust, but this is a man that would be in the fight with his master, side by side and together working. 18 times the word armor bearer. It's found in the Bible. And here we read of this loyal man to Jonathan, right? He says to who? Of everyone in Saul's house, of every warrior in Saul's army, of all the people at that time in the known kingdom, who does he call to go into battle with him? His armor bearer. That speaks of a loyalty. That speaks of a confidence in him. We read of other men that had armor bearers. David, before he ever became king over Israel, he was the armor bearer to Saul. And Saul loved him, the Bible says. Joab had Zelek and Nahari. These men, they were vital to the leader, to the king. These men were vital to the army. These men were vital to the battle. This is a very important office. So, what does this office look like today? What would an armor bearer, if you have things that are physical of the Old Testament, what would that look like spiritually today? Armor bearers could be the relationship that a pastor has with maybe their assistants. Assistants would be types of armor bearers. Pastors and their disciples, or the, in our case, we title it a concert director. Those disciples and concert directors, they are armor bearers to the pastor. You have maybe the concert director and the disciples. These disciples are armor bearers alongside someone who is in a position of leadership. It is a relationship that serves together in the battle. It is a relationship of common bond and common vision. And so these are things that are very important and continue the work of God. Because like I said, it cannot be just one person. It has to be men laboring together. I can speak personally. There are things in this current office that I function and operate on, in, that I take on as a armor bearer. But there were things that as disciples we carried together. When I think back in discipleship, when I think back in sitting in serious men's classes and growing in discipleship, growing in revelation, growing in fruitfulness, growing in supernatural ability, etc., there were things I took on then. There were things that I carried alongside my pastor. There were decisions I made alongside the concert director that was in place at that time. There was things that we as brethren, we carried together. So there's a need to carry the load when it comes to establishing the kingdom of God and dominion. There's a need, right, that men would band together and be like an armor bearer. In Exodus, we see Aaron and Hur. They serve Moses in what we could say an armor bearer capacity. As Moses and God's people are facing the Amalekites, Joshua is on the battlefield with the army. Moses atop the mountain overseeing, and God gave him very specific instructions. Hold up the rod of authority. That rod of prayer, hold it during the battle. Sounds like an easy job. You hold something up all day. And what happens is he began to become fatigued and weak, and Aaron and Hur lifted his arms. Aaron and Hur kept the victory up, but it took men working together because no one person can do it alone. 1 Samuel 14 and verse 1.
One day Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side." But he did not tell his father.
Okay, here the army is at a standstill. The God's people, they're not moving forward. Something rises up in Jonathan, and he says to who? The armor bearer. Let's go to the Philistines. Let's go to their outpost. Let's go to where they're at, and let's fight against them. But he did not do that by himself. He took his armor bearer with him. So let's look secondly at the active and ready armor bearer. The armor bearer in our story had a readiness. He was ready for the moment. He was ready in the immediate. Jonathan, in a moment of inspiration, says, "Let's go." 1 Samuel 14 and verse 7.
So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart."
Okay, there wasn't a hesitation. There wasn't this, you know, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. You know, let me see what my schedule looks like. I was kind of planning some other things. You know, I had a Netflix binge watch that I had scheduled for that day. You know, I had other things that I was going to go do. You know, let me see if that's going to be workable. I just got too much going on right now. No, there wasn't a hesitation. There wasn't a discussion. There was an immediate willingness. There was an immediate drive. There was an immediate response because the armor bearer lives active and ready. And this is what we need today, men that are active in the things of God. Men that are ready to take on the things of God. Men that are ready to respond in a moment's notice, in a quick opportunity that presents itself. This armor bearer was ready. During the Revolutionary War, when America was trying to gain its independence from Britain, in this Revolutionary War, our side was filled with farmers, fathers, common young men that responded in a moment. You know your history? Well, this is known as Minutemen. Minutemen that could be ready for battle in a minute's notice. Minutemen that would be willing to fight battles in their own backyards, in their own fields. This was very close to where they were at. Minutemen who would respond at any moment, say, "Yes, I'm ready." See, this is the picture of the armor bearer. It was a lifestyle. The armor bearer is a way in which you live, not a way in which you intend to live. Oh man, one day when I go out, I'm telling you, I'm gonna be soul winner. Man, one day when I go out, then I'll have time to pray. Yeah, one day when I go out, then I'll have time to study. One day when I go out, man, my church is gonna grow because I'm gonna be. But you don't live the minute, the armor bearer's lifestyle now. You're not engaged in the fight now. You're not active in it, you're longing for it. But this man in our story, he lived for the fight. He was equipped for the fight. And he was willing to follow his leadership into the fight. So the question this morning is, what is your view on this? Some men, they focus on the send me. Pastor, hey, just want to let you know, conference next week, send me. I'm ready. Oh, announce me. Be cool to be on the big screen. Be cool to have people come and congratulate me after. Everybody want to take a picture with me. Pastor, just so you know, if you want to give me the mic anytime, altar call preaching, hey, I'm your man. You know what, Pastor, if you want, put me in charge of something. I'm really good at it. But you don't outreach. But you don't serve your congregation. When there's work to be done, set up and tear down, you're MIA. Right? But you don't pray for the sick. You don't evangelize. You don't work with converts. You don't work with people. You aren't in the fight now. Why would I throw you in it? Right? So think about this. Live today how you want to live tomorrow. If that is what you want to pursue, if that is what you want to be, then do it. Do it now. Get active. Get involved, because the armor bearer is a lifestyle, not a dream. It's how you live, not a longing, not a fantasy. And so think about this. Jonathan had a confidence in his armor bearer to ask him to go. Go with me. Let's go And the armor bearer responded, and Tony read the scripture, and he said, "My heart is with you." Yeah, that's a pretty powerful statement. It's not just, sure, I'll go because I have to. I don't have another choice, do I? No, no, no. My heart is with you. Jonathan, my heart, it is linked with you. My heart is connected with yours. Gentlemen, do you have your pastor's heart? Do you have your pastor's vision? Do you value what he values? Do you love what he loves? Do you celebrate what he celebrates? Right? Are you in line with him? Is it a reference point? Do you have the same reference points? If that is missing, then ask God for it. God, give me the heart of my pastor. If that is missing, then ask questions. Every morning that our pastor is home, you have opportunity to ask questions. You have opportunity to gain insight and revelation. If it's missing, partner with your pastor, partner with your concert director. Get involved, make yourself available, step out, live the armor bearer lifestyle. So let's close. Let's talk about the armor bearer and victory. The victory of the armor bearer is seen in this story. Let's read 1 Samuel 14:14.
That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land.
Okay, the first slaughter. This is a picture, man. This is warfare. But as he partnered, as the armor bearer partnered in the vision and the fight of Jonathan, he shares in the victory. The first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer. Right? You begin to share in the victory because you're linked with your leadership. You're linked and connected with your headship. And think about this. This moment, this battle, this impromptu decision to take the battle to the gates, it's recorded for eternity. We're reading now. We have an example thousands of years later, sharing in the victory of Jonathan and his armor bearer, seeing what God does when you live that life, when you connect yourself. There's victory linked to it. There's breakthroughs linked to it. There's supernatural favor and blessing that is tied to it. You tie into that. Right? When I think of the inheritance that personally I have access to because of my spiritual father, because of my those men that have discipled me, Pastor Wayman, Pastor Greg, the spiritual inheritance you tie into when you link your heart. Those victories, all those things that have been trailblazed on your behalf, you tie into that. That's powerful. Right? The inheritance of godly parents, their longevity, you tie into those things. It's bigger and greater than you even sometimes can recognize. Secondly, not only did he share in the victory, he shared in the dominion. 1 Samuel 14:15. Okay, this word trembling is repeated. In other words, the enemies, they feared Jonathan. They feared his armor bearer. As God moved through this decision and together they linked up and went and fought, hell feared. The enemy feared. right? And these are some intense enemies. Those that were in the camp, these were men of war. Those that were in the field, outside of the protection of the camp, men of war, they trembled, all the people. It throws in there. This is now being talked about. The garrison and the raiders. All of these overwhelmed with fear because of Jonathan and his armor bearer. In other words, you tie into that dominion. And what does that look like? There were just stories and decisions that Pastor Greg made in his life, ministry, discipleship. He tells us stories about it. You know, often I would just link my heart to that and say, God, I want that. And he would teach us, right? God is not a respecter of persons. If he'll do it for one, he'll do it for you. God doesn't love so-and-so more than you. So in that, I would lay hold of it, but then get my own stories, get my own breakthroughs, get my own. But it started with a link, a connection, and that dominion, because I've heard of it, I see it, I say, God, I want the same. I want the same. And this armor bearer shared in the dominion. See, when you link hearts with your pastor, his victories become yours. His spirit and vision becomes yours. And there's a supernatural element that transfers to you, that connects to you. I travel all over the world. I get that privilege. But even before moving to Prescott, whenever I'd preach out of town, overseas, etc., this phrase would be repeated, and nobody's talking to each other. But this phrase has been repeated. When I close my eyes, it sounds like Pastor Greg. But not just the sound, the spirit, the dominion, those qualities, those aspects. Why? Because I've linked my heart. I decided years and years ago, I'm going to be an armor bearer. I'm going to live the armor bearer lifestyle. So the challenge this morning is this: will you be an armor bearer? Will you live ready? Will you get active and take the battle to the gates? Will you make a decision to link your heart with your pastor's? Will you make a decision to link your heart with your concert director, with your ministry leader? Will you make a decision to link your heart with your brethren and say, you know what, we're carrying this together and we're carrying the battle together, and we're going to see supernatural victory and breakthrough in dominion? Okay, let's open for some questions there. Looking at the armor bearer. Yeah, David.
What does it look like practically to be an armor bearer as far as like day to day with a concert director, helping the concert director?
Yeah, again, making yourself available, in any way possible, and then delivering on that. Right, there's a lot of guys, hey, let me know. You let them know, but they're no-shows. So you get involved. We would often, I remember making a decision to get involved and beyond involved in the concert ministry, beyond, at that time for us, it was, for my wife and I, it was our band. But getting involved, we're going to get behind the concert director and support in outreach. We're going to get behind the concert director and support in setups and teardowns for outreaches. We're going to get involved in and faithfully commit to Saturday morning outreach. Then we were praying together. Long before I was ever an altar call preacher, I was involved in praying through 180 with the concert director, praying through the church with the concert director, impromptu outreaches, impromptu street preaching. We were out there together with our concert director, and numbers of them leading up to when we came on staff, but that was put in place. I remember when Pastor Tim Miller was concert director and he started evangelism nights on Thursday nights, and a disciple would preach a 10-minute sermonette on evangelism. We'd pray in the Holy Ghost and we'd go outreaching. That was, we were linking with that concert director. Everything we do is how it looks practically. Then I think also a big key in all of it is prayer. Praying for your concert director. Praying for your pastors. Lifting them up in prayer. That's the Aaron and her picture. It's a picture of prayer. And that changes the battle. Often fought first in prayer. Yeah. Good. Good, good.
Pastor Jesse, yeah. You said you link your heart to Pastor Greg at that time, that was kind of like a shift for you. Would you say, was it the hunger that, or to see those things that drove you to link at that moment, to see, to make it your own, right? All the victories and from the stories, is that?
Yeah, what it did was it inspired faith. There were so many things I'd never seen before, right? So when I first started coming to Serious Men, and really pursuing my discipleship, Pastor Greg would talk about things I had never seen or experienced in the concert ministry, in converts, in fruitfulness, in the supernatural and miraculous. So he'd talk about it, and I'd think, and then what he would tell us is, and you can have this. What he'd often say is, one day when you're pastoring, one day when you're, maybe take over, he would speak these words, and it was vision for our lives. He believed that we could become that. So part of that was he believed in us, but then secondly is that, again, those stories inspired faith. And in inspiring faith, I simply settled, I want that for myself. Right? When I first started coming to Serious Men, he was doing concert ministry lessons about concert ministry and what that looks like and expectations and prayer for and all of that. And then he's sharing stories. And I'd say, man, I've never seen that in the concert. And as a band leader, I began to say, but I want to see it in my life. I want to see that in my band. And again, his stories, I have my own now. They look like his, but it was just faith inspired. But then I want what he has, right? And that's linking that heart. That's capturing and catching the spirit and heart of your pastor. Like I said, loving what he loves, valuing what he values, celebrating what he celebrates, right? You catch a vision for that. Yeah. Good. Yeah, Dave.
Could it be when that at different times your focus as an armor bearer is more helping different people in different roles, like for specific time frames, or is it more just an attitude that's everywhere, that affects every part of your life?
Well, in this case, it's definitely tied to ministries in some way. Right? So like I said, as a disciple, I can remember settling and making a decision. We are going to support the concert. If this is what we want to do, we need to get involved in a deeper way, in a greater capacity. And it wasn't just about time. Man, we loved what we were doing at that time. We loved being involved. We loved helping carry the load. There was a shift. It wasn't just about, oh, this is what you got to do if you want to be. No. It was in there. And it was in there because my pastor was challenging us that way also at that time. Challenging, right? He would say, "Is some men, you want the microphone, but what about setup? What about teardown? What about all the behind-the-scene things, right?" So for that time, it was then. But then going into the field, it didn't change it. I'm still an armor bearer, right, in discipleship, What am I doing now, though? I'm replicating Prescott. That's what I'm doing. I'm establishing and replicating. And the thing about being an armor bearer is God gives you armor bearers like yourself. Everywhere I've pastored, I've had armor bearers in ministry, men that link hearts with me. And I think that's a flow because that's my heart. And that's something I genuinely think is true. Yeah. Because you can't transmit what you don't have. You don't have a heart for your pastor and the things he loves and values. How will men have that with you? Yeah. Good. Yeah, Tony.
How do you start to link your heart with your pastor?
In that, that's a good question. And you know, like I said in the lesson is ask God for it, right? God, give me my pastor's spirit. God, I want the heart he has for converts. I remember Pastor Greg talking about his love for converts and the wonder and the marvel of a genuine convert. It's like, I didn't know, but he looks really excited about it. So I need that. God, give me a love for people like that. To see their potential, to love people, right? So I'm hearing, number one, what he's saying, so I'm asking God for it. Number two is you ask questions. And this is why we have a culture of questions, is because you get more than information. You get more than, if you ask about a scripture, you're getting more than a better understanding of that scripture. You're getting doctrine. You're getting a very specific, if you think of a commentary, whatever commentary you read, you get their doctrine from that, right? You read a John MacArthur doctrine, you're getting a cessationist doctrine, right? You read some of these other ones who were Calvinists, you're getting a Calvinist's doctrine and insight on the verse. So wouldn't it be better to ask, right, your pastor? Our pastor has 40 plus years of ministry experience, right? And that's better. So you're getting doctrine, you're getting impartation, spiritual impartation, how he views life, how he views different circumstances, situations, how he processes life. So what it does is it gives you not an insight, but also you can apply that to your own life. And that begins to form and connect your heart with your pastor. You gain his spirit, and you begin to process life the same way, right? I remember preaching at altar calls as a disciple and people saying, man, you sound like your pastor. That's encouraging. That's what I want, right? That's what I contend for. And again, it's not just a tone or parroting or a sound. It's more the spirit behind it. Yeah. Good. Those would be the two A's. Yeah, Brendan.
So can you recall a time where you went from simply attending Serious Men, whatever, as a disciple, the time where you began to contend for ministry? Was there, what was happening in that season where you recognized, I can't just simply come and partake, I got to invest and involve? What was it that led up to the initiation?
No, it definitely really had been evolving over time, just growing, right? We all grow. So as a new disciple, like I'm going to pursue ministry, it was a seed, right? Then I was a sapling. And so I grew in stages. But yes, the point where it really shifted to the next level was when I settled my calling. When I settled, this isn't something I could do. This is what I will do. And when I settled that, that probably was the catalyst that really accelerated my connecting my heart with my pastors. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, then.
Pastor, you mentioned a couple just examples of impromptuness in your discipleship. What are the ways that us as disciples and men can do that in 180? Establish the impromptuness where God's moving or doing certain things to help growth or just in the moment, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, you know, it's not just doing things. Pastor Greg answered someone's question, I think yesterday, maybe it was Tony, that you can work, and work even more, but if you don't have dominion, it's not going to do you any good. So you need dominion. So, and that was something my pastor would often say. He would often challenge us in. So we're contending personally for dominion in our lives, personal fruitfulness, personal breakthroughs. But then as we were doing these impromptu things, it really was just a hunger. It wasn't just about, okay, what else could we do? God was just moving through the most basic things. I don't know if Pastor Stephen would remember or not, but we were doing these impromptu outreaches at the entertainment district in Prescott Valley, and we'd go with Gatorades or Monsters or sometimes just $1 bills. And we would just be like, who wants to win a dollar? You know, and people are coming, and we'd ask like Bible questions, and you know, some people knew answers or whatever, and then we'd pull an altar call when we had a group of 15 young people, and we would just be praying with tons of young people. But it wasn't like we were trying to figure out this code of fruitfulness. It was just a hunger to see people's lives change, to see conversions. But again, that was the result of, I think, beginning to catch our pastor's spirit and his heart as he's challenging us in personal dominion. And so yeah, with that, Len, how can you do that? I think you recognize opportunities. I remember Pastor Greg, a big part of that was he did a series men titled Seizing the Day. And it was all about seeing opportunities. And when you see it, act on it. Hey, I've seen this spot that would be great for street preaching. It was little things like that. We tell the concert director, hey, saw this spot would be good for street preaching. All right, let's go do it. Friday, we're out there street preaching. Hey, I saw this spot for a neighborhood outreach. Right? We had weekly neighborhood outreaches, weekly. But again, because we're just seeing opportunity. So I think that's a way to pray, Lem, is God, give me eyes for the harvest. Right? And that's what Jesus told the disciples, lift up your eyes and look, for it's ready. So it was that hunger in that regard, that motivated. The impromptuness was more the results of things we were already contending for. Yeah, or the manifestation of it. Yeah. Good. Yeah, Andrew.
How do you maintain that, linking with your pastor? Like, how do you maintain kind of keeping growing?
You see us walk away after every discipleship, Pastor Greg and I. It's because I'm asking questions, right? Different level. Obviously, a lot of my questions I can't ask at the table. It's sensitive. In that, Andrew, that's what I'm doing. So when I ask questions, I'm still gaining understanding, insight, and revelation, right? And 15 years later, majority of my ministry is practiced how my pastor taught me. It's not like now, you know, coming on 15 years later, I was watching this guy on YouTube. Yeah, I was checking out this other pastor over here. No, my pastor trained me, discipled me. I've strived for ministry like his, to process life like he does, to process ministry like he does, to preach like he does, right? Textual preaching. I have 15 years practice the same way because it works, it's effective, and it's what my pastor taught me, right? So all of that, Andrew, is in practice and maintains that heart and hunger. Then, of course, going without saying, but prayer. I pray for my pastor. I pray for all of our staff, you know, and that we would have a linking of hearts, and we do. And it's totally it makes the difference in a capacity in a church like ours. Yeah. So that's how I do that. The same ways, I answered to start is the same ways that you keep. Yeah, good. Pastor Hart.
Question, have you ever read God's Armor Bearer?
No, I have not. No.
Very similar to what you're teaching. In fact, it's exactly, Pastor Payne turned me on to it.
Yeah.
And so I wondered if you had read that book.
No, but I'll check that out. Okay. Yeah. Good. Very good. Any other questions? Something you want to ask? Thinking. Alrighty. Well, with that, I do want to pray for you this morning. Believe God. This, though, ultimately, I can pray for you, but ultimately, you have to choose it for yourself. Whether you're going to be an armor bearer, whether you want that or not, that is up to you. But I'm going to ask God to move on hearts this morning. Father God, right now, Lord, I pray for this group of men. God, you know the potential in this place right now. God, you know the cities and the places that you want to open up doors. Father God, I pray right now, raise up armor bearer men. Father God, that would press the battle to the gates, that would link hearts with their pastor, that would link hearts with their concert director, God, with those in leadership ministry. God, that there is going to be a transfer of spirit and heart, vision in Jesus' mighty name. God, men that would be ready in a moment's notice, men that would be ready, Father God, for opportunities and circumstances that would arise. Father God, I pray for a Holy Ghost dimension, and let there be an impartation in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke every weapon of rebellion and carnality that would hinder, every weapon of immorality that would hinder. Father God, what you want to do, I pray supernatural breakthrough. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Let's give God praise. Father God, I thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll stop there. Appreciate you guys.